This is episode 215, recorded August 1st, 2014.
Okay, everybody, greetings. We have to apologize a little bit.
Yes, sorry.
The best laid plans of mice and men, right?
We kind of fell off the face of the earth.
For a little while. I mean, we did warn you in episode 2014, not 214, I believe we did, saying, you know, we might not be making as many as we usually do for a couple of weeks because we'd be on vacation. And we posted on Facebook before we left, I believe. And then we posted on Facebook while we were gone because some of our faithful listeners sent us emails and inquiries and asked how we were doing and wondered where we were, and which we appreciate. You know, just they were just checking to make sure we were okay.
The plan was actually to make a few episodes while we were out in California, and it just didn't happen.
And there were a couple of reasons for that. One is because we had a lot going on while we were there. And the other is we had internet problems a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't working very well.
No, and so we were worried that we wouldn't be able to post it once we recorded it. And, you know, but it was also very crazy, busy, fun, but busy time. Traveling a lot, so you can't really record when you're in a car, and we spent a lot of time in the car.
Mm-hmm. But Greg, in Jamestown, we thought of you.
Yep. And, you know, he sent us a message about that, yeah.
We were driving through Jamestown, and we're like, oh, Greg lives here.
Yep. And he sent us a message on Facebook about that, thinking, oh, you're in my area right now.
Yep.
When we sent one of the Facebook messages out saying that we were on vacation. So, anyway, it was a fun vacation. We're actually going to talk about a fishy-related thing that occurred during the vacation, too. But before we do that, let's give them our lineup for the day, shall we?
Yes. We have some what's the word? Not old. You're not old. Classical. Classics. Classics contributing today, and some new people.
Okay,
okay.
Cool.
So we've got JR in Kentucky, and Mick in Carnforth, Ravi Kumar in Kerala, India, which I find particularly spiffy, and Tom in Provo.
And then we're going to talk about some stuff, too.
Yes.
Okay.
So
JR's a new one, a new Aquarium Max.
Oh, JR's new, too. For some reason, I was thinking we'd heard from JR before.
No, welcome to Aquarium Max.
Well, you're spiffy JR. For being new, too, then. Okay. So, he says, hi there, just started listening to about 2 months ago. Went to the archives to catch all the shows. I am in far eastern Kentucky and keep several tanks. I love live plants and killifish. I have a question about grindle worms. I am going on vacation for 2 weeks and have no one who could care for my culture. How long will a culture survive without food? Should I just dispose of my culture before we leave and plan on buying a new one when we return? Thanks. Love the podcasts.
Okay.
From JR.
So
we actually did the same thing on vacation.
Yeah, we did. And I sent JR a message because I said, basically, you can, if you're only going to be on a couple of weeks, as long as the culture is protected from temperature extremes, just let it go.
And they'll come back when you get back.
Yep. Feed it, not overfeed it before you leave, and then just don't worry about it. And what seems to happen is the worms seem to be able to survive quite a while without food, the adults, but also the eggs can survive even longer. And I'm not quite sure how it works. If they just hatch at different times, and there are always individuals hatching, you know what I mean, where, like, sort of time release.
They don't hatch at the same time, they just kind of individually hatch.
I'm wondering if that happens, I don't know, this is just an idea that it may happen this way, or if it's just that the worms sort of decrease in size, kind of, you know, using reserves or whatever, but whatever happens, little tiny worms show up in the culture as soon as you start feeding it after it's, even if it's been a couple of weeks or longer. So that's what we did with ours, and that's what JR decided to do with his too, because I emailed him. This was before we left on vacation when he asked.
And then he sent a response back, and he says, good to know. I also wanted to mention I had trouble with flies in the culture until I read your suggestion to use filter floss in the air holes. Worked great, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad that's been useful. I've found over the years that's been helpful for a variety of cultures, anything from microworms and grindleworms to isopods, to keep nasty little bugs out, including fruit flies and fungus gnats, which are two of my nemeses when it comes to culturing things. Forehead flies are bad, too. Nasty little things. So, stuffing the ventilation holes with filter floss. I highly recommend it for almost anything you're culturing. Not zebras, but, you know, within reason.
Well, most people, if they're going to have zebras, they're in a zoo.
That's true. Okay, so there you go.
Okay, so thank you, JR, and welcome to the wonderful world of Aquarium
Max.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Mick sent us something really fun.
He did.
Okay. I'll read his message first and then we'll talk about it. He says, just thought I would share with you a picture from Facebook showing me with one of our local radio presenters from Saturday. There was a special event on at the weekend in the shopping center next to our shop, and I was asked to bring along one of our snakes for an interview. Both the snake and the presenter were well behaved. And he actually, in the email, says he doesn't have a link, but then he sent us an audio clip later, so.
Mm-hmm.
He said he shared the picture on his shop's Facebook page, too. Do you want to talk about that first and then the rest of his...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was a fun link.
It was really fun.
He talked about... He had a corn snake there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the corn snake's name?
Kellogg. So it was Kellogg the corn snake.
I love that. That was funny.
Pretty awesome.
For those of you who live in places where Kellogg's corn flakes are not sold...
It's a breakfast cereal.
Yeah, and it was fun. Kellogg mm-hmm. corn snake. Kellogg's corn flakes. Yeah. It was fun.
We'll put that... Are we going to insert that in the episode? Can we do that with that kind of clip?
We could insert it in the episode.
Let's stick it in.
I need to ask Mick if it's okay. I might be able to put a link to it, rather. Okay. I don't know. You know, we have to look into copyright issues and stuff.
Okay, well, so we'll get it out for you somehow.
We'll try to make it available to you.
It was a fun little interviewer.
If we can.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun to listen to, and he talked about his pet shop, Fangs and Fins,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about ugly bugs. Which is an awesome idea to have both of them, I think, where
mm-hmm.
Ugly Bugs is sort of an educational
and
fun sort of outreach program mm-hmm. that they do as well as their pet store. So they bring animals to parties or schools or different things like that where people can get up close and personal with them and learn about them. So, hopefully we can get that radio broadcast so that you can listen to it, but... I would highly recommend that you go to visit Fangs and Fins, their Facebook page, and Ugly Bugs, their Facebook page. So,
mm-hmm.
check it out. Fun stuff.
And we'll either get the clip into the episode or put a link up to it or something.
If we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And we can definitely put the pictures of it.
Yeah, yeah. Did he send the pictures?
Yeah, he did.
He said he did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He also says, on the subject of lava rock, I was also inspired to try it out by the Bailey brothers on Pet Fish Talk a few years back. It is a great one to add to systems as a decorative stone, especially in shrimp tanks. It's also good as a general media in larger filters like canisters. I used it in my wet-dry filter, which was built into the aquarium hood. I generally bought the smaller pieces sold for barbecue grills, but I've had a few larger brick-sized pieces, which I bought from aquarium shops.
Oh, yeah, and that is a good thing to mention, that if you want to get a bigger piece, that's a good place to get them. In an aquarium shop.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention that earlier, so...
Okay.
Sounds like Mick has had some of the similar experiences that we have had with it, and that's good. And that I like what he did. He put it right into the wet-dry filter in the aquarium hood. He added it. So, bolstering mm-hmm. the filtering capacity. Good idea.
Okay. So, congratulations on your interview, Mick.
Yeah, it went really well. I liked
mm-hmm.
it. It was fun.
It was very fun. And now we have Radha Kumar in Kerala, India. And he says he would like to know where he can get cultures of grindleworms, white worms, and bloodworms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if from, you know... in his area, where would be a good place for him to...
Yeah, I don't know if I should try him. Saying... He said he's staying at Thiruvananthapuram. I don't know how to say that.
So you can correct us.
Yeah. But I've had folks from India write in once in a while wondering where to get cultures of live foods. I can't send them to India, unfortunately. I can't send them internationally very easily. It's really tricky to do so. I think once, early on, I was able to... The customs allowed them through to Japan, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I gave up on trying to send things internationally because usually customs would shut it down.
They wouldn't let it in.
They wouldn't let it in. They wouldn't... so it was useless because people send me, you know, whatever it was, like
$40. It was expensive to ship it.
Because shipping internationally is... And
especially
would,
when it has to go fast enough, you know.
Right. And once or twice I tried it after that, and one guy, you know, he ended up paying a lot of money. And I told him up front before I sent anything, before he paid anything, I can't accept responsibility for customs confiscating something or whatever, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it illegally. I want it to, you know.
Right.
I want it to go legally. And I tried and it didn't work. And so I said, okay, after that, I'm not doing international because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So Unfortunately, I can't send them. However, if I'm hoping that there are some other listeners in India, and I know there are because they...
There are quite a few people who, in India who've liked the Facebook page.
Yeah. So if there are other listeners in India who can give some information to Ravi Kumar about how to get some live food, or maybe you can even, you know, send him some in within the country or something like that, that would be great. It's worked before for us to mention things like that. Hopefully this time it'll work too.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to...
How about we just take a trip to India and we'll just bring him some?
I don't think they'd let them on the airplane, but it would be fun. So hopefully that helps. If there are any listeners in India who know where to get live foods for aquarium fish, such as grindleworms, white worms, blood worms, then please let us know, and then we can let Rav Kumar know. Mm-hmm. That would be great. And hopefully you're listening, Rav Kumar, and you are able to hear some good news soon if we get some other listeners from India to help us out with that.
Okay.
And welcome to Aquarimax, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And Tom in Provo, he says, I hope you enjoyed your vacation, but good to hear you will be back. I'm looking forward to further Aquarimax dispatches from your secret headquarters in the Fortress of Fish.
I like that. We should say... Welcome to the Fortress of Fish.
We totally should.
That'd be cool.
Forget all this episode, what's it called, recorded this date. You know, we'll just... We need some, like, creepy castle music. And welcome to the Fortress of Fish.
Yeah.
You know, that would be pretty awesome.
Oh, it would be kind of cool. I like that. You know, Superman had the Fortress of Solitude. We have the Fortress of Fish.
You know, Fish is better than Solitude.
And I could put an echo thing on it, a reverb thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, so we need to get like a little cartoon of the Fortress of Fish for t-shirts. That's another t-shirt idea.
Yeah.
If we ever in the world ever actually make t-shirts.
Yeah, someday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now we're going to talk about our fishy experience
while we were. And the visiting California. Pet store in Sonora.
Yes. We went to a pet store in Sonora, and which is where we were staying. And
Sonora, not the pet store.
Yeah, we were staying in Sonora. Yeah. Okay. So, in the pet store, there were several people there while we were there. And
there was a mom and two daughters.
Yes. And the two daughters were not very old. Maybe, I don't know, 5 years old. You know, close to five to eight, six,
maybe
seven.
One like
I don't
eight
know.
Or something.
Yeah, one was a bit younger than the other one. So maybe, yeah, somewhere 4, 6, 5, 7, 6, 8, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Elementary school age.
Yes, and on the younger side. And they were looking at some fish, and one of them said something like, we want to get a good one this time because last time our fish died fast. And, of course, we were just a couple of feet away, as that was said, and I cringed inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother said something like, yeah, but you better get a small goldfish because we have a small tank. And then I cringed even more.
It was painful.
And then I bit my tongue, so I wouldn't say anything.
Well, and the store guy didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Like, the clerk, he didn't say, oh, well, you know, goldfish need this much room, or it's kind of pointless to get a small goldfish, because guess what? They grow! And
we were wondering what to do about that. Luckily, at least... part of this story ended happily because I'm going to imagine that it was the pet store clerk who talked to them about this. We didn't hear this part happen, but later on we saw the little girl with a betta.
She decided to get a betta instead of a goldfish.
And what I'm hoping is they had maybe a 2 to 5 gallon tank that they were going to put this betta in, and it'll be a lot happier than a goldfish would in
a
2 to 5 gallon
tank. Yes, and I'm hoping
the
other girl didn't pick out a goldfish after we left so that they're putting them both together.
Yeah, I hope that too. But what I would like to say, and so that sounds like it was a pretty happy ending that the girl got a betta, which is, I mean, we don't know what her setup was like, but likely going to do better in a smaller tank than a goldfish will, mm-hmm. as long as it's not like a 1-pint bowl or something, right?
Right.
So what we wanted to do with this is kind of bring this up. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation where you could say something? And of course, situations always vary. I could have piped up and said something right then. I don't know that that would have been appropriate, because the store clerk owner, you know, he's right there, and he, you know, it's his store. I don't want to mess
him up.
Well,
I don't know if it was the owner.
Well,
it was just a guy working.
That's true. I don't know if it was the owner. It was just somebody working there. I don't know if it was the owner or not. It's a good point. But I don't want to, you know, jump in where I'm not wanted, but at the same time, I feel a desire to help those poor fish and those poor people from making a mistake.
Because they obviously want their fish to live.
Yeah. And what we wanted to kind of bring up today was, what, where do you think the line is? Do you have any particular experiences where you have helped people in a store situation or not? Or where you have decided not to? Or in different situations where you've piped up and provided information that was helpful. Because I know I've done it, and you have to analyze each situation. It's a case-by-case thing, because some situations it's really a lot more appropriate than others. For example, if the pet store owner had, you know, walked away and they're looking at the fish, and we happened to be near them, which was true, we were near them, and we had happened to say, you know, that goldfish is going to get really big. We have goldfish at home, and they're in a 37-gallon tank in there.
And there's only two of them in there.
Yeah. And there are only two of them there, and that's about all that can fit. But you might consider better. You know, that we could have done that. Would it have been appropriate? I don't know. But this is what I'm asking. When do you find that such things are appropriate, and when do you find that they are not? And do you have any experiences that you can talk about, whether positive or negative, where you have attempted to do so or you haven't done so? Is that pretty clear?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean?
So, send us your stories.
Yeah. Because I have at times talked to people about that. And it's been, I think in general, they're happy to know that information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they might wonder who I am or why I'm telling them that. But it has been
helpful.
You
can just say, I'm the fish angel. I go around all the pet stores making sure the fish don't die.
And sometimes I've encountered people in the pet store and then talked to them for a while, and they find out about the podcast, and they're mm-hmm. all excited to go listen to it and things like that.
And learn even more.
Yeah. But it can be a hard judgment call on when it's appropriate, when it's not. And I know that a pet store is there, they have to make certain decisions based on money because they need to stay in business.
Right.
But at the same time, I would, if I were running a pet store, I think I would want to make sure that
the people,
the best interests
the
of the animals and the people are met. And I know that mm-hmm. on occasion
they knew what they
difficult.
Were doing.
But in general,
mm-hmm.
I think that if you run a pet store that's a quality establishment where you give good information and you don't allow people to make purchases that they will regret, they will tend to come back to you for supplies and
mm-hmm.
further, you know, other pets in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially with aquariums, you know, I think once people have a successful tank, even if they start out with a 10 or 20 gallon, once they have it running successfully, they think, this is really cool. I want a bigger one.
Yeah, I want another one.
I want more.
Another one.
Yeah.
But if someone has goldfish and they die 6 times in a row, then they're
then they
likely
kind of
to say,
give up.
You know what, we're done.
Let's get a guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly. And so, anyway, that's just how, waxing philosophical a bit today, and thought you might want to chime in a bit.
So send us your philosophical wax.
I
Sorry, that was weird.
I think one thing that, you know, I feel like having the podcast helps a lot of people, and that's
mm-hmm.
one way to do it without being invasive. You know, because people can ask their questions here and get
mm-hmm.
them answered. But then again, a lot of people who go into pet stores, maybe they aren't committed enough to go look for things like that online.
I think most people, I don't know, most people think, oh, let's go get a goldfish and put it in a bowl, and it doesn't even occur to them that there might be other information about there out there, or that they think of goldfish as disposable.
Right.
Because they die so often because people don't know what they're
doing.
So
they think they have a lifespan.
And so they think their lifespan is, you know, 2 weeks or
instead of 20 years.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that little girl got a betta instead of a goldfish.
Yeah, hopefully that goes well for her.
And I'm assuming that I'm not trying to point my finger at this pet store owner, just to make it clear. It appears that he gave her some quality advice and they made a better choice with that.
We were just We just thought it would be interesting to find out if you guys had stories of, if you have intervened on the fish's behalf and, you know, helped people find something that suited them better, or if you haven't, or, you know, so send us your stories.
Right. I think that's about it for this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So okay. We should be back to regular podcasting now.
Yeah.
And thank you for being patient with us.
You can join us in the Fortress of Fish.
Dun, dun, dun.
May the fish
be with you.